And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight. Lord, that you be with me, that, Lord, you settle my spirit, that, Father, your word may have its say, that, Lord, I wouldn't interrupt it, I wouldn't distract from it, but, Father, you just deal with us. Lord, help us, help your word to motivate us tonight. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, John chapter 4, verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now, keep in mind where we are. We preached last Wednesday about the woman at the well. We are still at the well. The woman is, let's keep reading. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When they went out of the city and came unto him, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I am missing a letter. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I was watching a cute little video one time. It was one of those documentaries. A guy and his wife, they went out. They were going to start a farm out in California. And they realized that they knew very little about farming. And the farm that they had was, well, the dirt was awful. And there was a lot of things all over the place, made it very difficult. The neighbors weren't all that well either. One was shut down. The other one had a whole bunch of one particular plant. It just wasn't looking good. So they hired a guy in as a mentor, the way they called it. But really, he was a coach. He taught them everything, right? And one of the things he told them is, you got to get this. If you get, let's say, chickens, you want to get chickens, you want to get ducks, you want to plant this kind of crop here and that kind of crop there. And, of course, the entire time being brand new, they're shaking their head and the husband's being the most vocal, going, I don't understand why we got to do it this way. I don't understand why we got to do it that way. But the guy who was teaching them says, hey, you do exactly what I say, and within 7 years, the land will take care of itself. And after a while, what they realized is one thing that they were doing over here fed over to over here. And everything going on over here fed on over there. And it really worked out well. Their seventh year, they finally brought in $500,000 or whatever that was, which for them was groundbreaking. And there wasn't all that big of a farm either, so they were doing well. Right? Now what's the purpose of everything they did? Millions of dollars that they spent. All of the travesties and heartaches, the coyotes getting into the chickens, finding out all these issues that they had and having to buy and rebuy things. The pig got sick and the dogs were eating the chickens and all the problems. What was the purpose of all that? To get food. You think about it, there's a lot of stuff that we do just to get food. Right? You clocked in for years or you're clocking in now. Why? To get food, to pay the bills, to get the things on the table that you need, to get the clothes on your back so that you can have a living. All those things are important to the disciples. They left. They were going to go get food. They brought the food back and they go to give it to Jesus. And again, I think he loved messing with them. Master, please eat. Master, please. Oh no, I have meat that you know nothing about. Would somebody come and give him food already? We walked all the way. Like, I can just kind of imagine the frustration. Like, if those guys were anything like the guys I know today, we'd be sitting there going, well, I don't see any bones or anything. Like, was there bread? Who brought it to him? Did you bring it to him? Did you run ahead? I thought we were all walking together. There was confusion. And, of course, Jesus was trying to teach them an object lesson because people so often need object lessons. He goes, no, my meat is to do the will of the Lord. I mean, we'll do all sorts of stuff just to make sure that we have food. And not just that, but here in America, we're spoiled. We like special kinds of food. We like special kinds of things. Right? For the Lord, what he's saying is, the purpose of my life isn't to go out and get food. It isn't to go out and buy things. It isn't to go out and have these things. The purpose, the feeding of my life, what brings purpose and food to my life is to do the will of the Lord. Now, I often sit in this debate among Christian people. I've never quite understood the purpose of the debate, right? Do we serve the Lord out of love or duty. I've heard people make the argument, well, you got to do it out of duty because every now and then you won't feel that love towards the Lord like you're supposed to. So you ought to serve him because you owe him, because he's God and that's just what you do. And I've heard other people say, well, how could I not serve him when I'm in a position of love for him? If I love God the way that I ought to, that'll be more than enough motive for me to serve him. Right? So again, it comes down to that debate. Do I serve him out of duty? Do I serve him out of love? I don't know. Does your car run without the alternator? Does it run without the battery? What's more important, the battery or the alternator? I don't know much about cars, but I've got a guess that you need both, don't you? You need them both. If I love the Lord, I will serve him. Because fresh in my mind is the sacrifice his son made for me. Fresh in my mind is all the wonders and all the blessings and all the great things God dumps into my life on a regular basis. Yes, there's bummers. Yes, there's hard times. Yes, there's massive amounts of frustration and heartache. Yes. But on top of it all, there's all these things that I don't deserve that God gives to me. Right? So out of love. Yes, absolutely. Out of love, we would serve him. Now, what about duty? Well, if I get up and I do something because I'm supposed to do it, that's absolutely right. Right? God, I owe God, and therefore I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve him. That's good, too. You need them both. But I'll tell you this, if I'm ever lacking in the love and I serve him just out of duty, you know what I've often found? The love comes back. It does. You're sitting there, maybe you're at a fellowship, maybe you're at a church service. You're like, man, I wasn't feeling it today. I drug myself in. But man, I went out dancing. I went out feeling good. I came because I was supposed to, but I came and I got stirred up. And now I'm excited. The love came back. And there's times where you serve the Lord out of love. Of course I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden it impresses upon you a desire for duty. I just did that with my father-in-law last week. Went out on Tuesday. Helped him with the roof. And I say help, I mean I did my best. Right? I lifted the shingles. I went down. I got stuff. I made sure he had a lot of water. I tell you what, I'm not a very good, when it comes down to that stuff, I couldn't lead the job. But I'm a good help, brother. I am. I get the water. I'll carry the shingles. I'm a really good gopher. I'm the best gopher you could hire. I really am. And that's what I was for him. I got up there. I climbed up the ladder with the shingles on my back. I did all that stuff. Now, why did I do it? Because I'm afraid of him. Yeah, him a little bit. You saw him, man. That is all muscle. Could you imagine asking that man if you could marry his daughter? Terrifying. The first time I met him, I shook his hand. Hi, how are you? And he laughed at me, and I couldn't make... I probably still can't look him square in the eye after that. But no, why do you do it? Is it out of love? Yep. Is it out of duty? Yep. There it is. Right? Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your cousins, your kids, your grandkids, they ask you for help. What do you do it for? Do you do it because you're your parent, their parent, or do you do it because it's your responsibility to take care of them and you love them? Which one? Yes. All of the above. There's no separation, love and duty. This woman, the moment the Lord saved her, what did she do? She hopped right into town. Guys, come here. Come here. Look at this guy. He knows everything I've ever done. That's got to be the Christ, right? That's got to be him, right? I mean, nobody else. Like, he doesn't even go here. He doesn't stand around here. I've never seen him around before. How could he know the gossip about me? Right? He is a Jew. He wouldn't come down here knowing our business. He's not going to be sitting there listening to our gossip. No. Immediately she dropped everything. Was it love? Was it duty? Yes. Whatever it was bouncing around inside her, she could not stay where she was. It was not about fetching water. The wash could wait. The food could wait. I must talk about this man. When we serve the Lord, it ought to be a response. A response based on our acknowledgement. That at a given point in my life, me being a sinner, needed the Messiah. And the Messiah coming and dying on the cross for my sins saved my unworthy soul. And now I have forgiveness. And much more than forgiveness, I have an eternity in heaven. Yeah, I tell you what, that is it is a hard way to live, I'm sure, without the hope and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. It's hard. But what we have is we have those assurances that no matter what happens to us here on earth, we'll see the Lord. And when I acknowledge that I have been saved, when I acknowledge that I don't deserve that salvation, it creates a response. It's a response based on my acknowledgement. It's a response that comes with salvation. That Holy Spirit gets inside you, and all of a sudden you're excited, you're pumped, you're up about it. You're up. There was a little girl. She's sitting at a table at a wedding, and she's introduced to her cousin's Muslim boyfriend. Nice guy, great guy. Right now, this girl's like Caspian's age. She looks over and he's talking for a while. What's your name? He tells her her name. My name's this, and tells her her name. What are you eating? Right, they're all sitting at the table eating. What are you eating? Well, I'm eating this. Okay. Do you know Jesus Christ? Didn't know him from anybody else on earth. Just knew that she had a few minutes to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't care where he came from. Probably didn't even know where he came from. Didn't know anything about his background. Probably barely even remembered his name, knowing her. And there it was. Why? Because that's the response to salvation. You want to. I want to tell other people about Christ. I don't want to sit there and get hung up on, well, is that going to offend them? Is it appropriate for them? Listen, you can't just give the gospel to Baptists because it's comfortable. You got to give it to everybody. You know, can I just say this? There are some folks that walk through those doors that other Baptist churches of our kinds wouldn't get the time of day. And I sit there and I watch y'all go back there, shake hands, hey, how are you? You nice. That's a blessing to your pastor. I tell you what, that pleases the Lord. Because if you're looking for people who look just like you to give the gospel to, you're going to run out real fast. We give the gospel to everyone. We have a love of the Lord that we share with everyone. Right? So it's a response. Salvation creates this response of, hey, listen, I was in the hole once. You're now, let me show you. Let me show you the way. Because I tell you what, I am so grateful to not have to deal with that. I'm going to tell you how to get out of there yourself. It's a response to the needs of others. What we have to never forget is that people need the Lord. That's what they need. It's easy for us to get angry. I get angry all the time. I see stuff. I hear stuff on television. I see what they're doing in education. I see what they're doing on entertainment. I see all the ways the world is working, and I do. I get mad. But what's the solution? What's my response? I have to understand that those people need the Lord. I cannot grab a hold of legislation and make a Baptist nation. I cannot grab a hold of the rules and laws in the area and try to legislate morality. What people need is the Lord. Is the gospel. That's what they need. Oh, I'll vote. Oh, I'll be up in the right saddle politically. I will. But people need the Lord. You're doing nothing if you're not out there giving the gospel. Well, you know, it's just the time's passed for that. No, it's not. It's not. People need the Lord, and not just in salvation, but we need the Lord as saved people, as church members. We need the Lord. That's why we come for the sermons. That's why we get the encouragement. That's why we come to the fellowships. So we can be encouraged in the Lord. We need it. We need that encouragement. People need the Lord. Lost and saved, we need the Lord. As the Lord says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. What he's depicting here is, listen, the groundwork was set. There was the Old Testament. There was the Old Law. There was the prophets. There were those that went out before you, and they preached. I preached. John preached. They went out before you. And now you're called to go out there and reap. And folks, the time of reaping has not ended. We are still in that time. And oh, I do agree, the winds are getting cold. Fall is coming to an end. The time of reaping is almost past. But to us, right now, this work, it ought to be our meat. It ought to be what we're hungry for. It ought to be what we desire. To do what? To do the will of the Lord. Now, what does the will of the Lord mean in my life? Well, it depends on who you are and what you got going on right now. It really does. When the Lord first called me to preach, what was the will of the Lord for my life right there? Sit there, shut up, and learn. That was His will for my life. Right? Now what happened? One day I got married. What's the will of the Lord for my life right now? To be the best church member I possibly could, to continue to shut up, listen, learn. And oh yeah, be a biblical husband. Be a godly man. That was His will for my life. Yeah, but did He want me to go out there and hike the mountains of this or that? Is it the Lord's will that I... Listen, you're overthinking it. You're overthinking it. What color should my house be? What's the Lord's will for that? Calm down. Master the basics first. Master the basics. What is it that you're supposed to be doing? As a child, honoring your parents, listening, learning. Right? Then all of a sudden we had kids. The will of the Lord, my life changed. Now I've also got to be a biblical dad. Right? Now, one day, if the Lord tarries His coming, 40 years from now, I'll be a granddad. And the will changes. Right? There was a time where I was working. Lord's will for my life didn't change, but it was time for me to advance to the next step. Came here. Right, many of you, whatever stage of your life it is, you ought to know exactly what the Lord's will is for your life. To know exactly what it is He's supposed to be doing. And stop looking at this this modern Christianity view of, you know, is it the Lord's will for me to go over here and work at this company or that company? Which one can you best serve Him in? Which one will best keep you inside the church? Which one? That's it. Right, you'll find out real quick. You get into the job, they start asking you to lie, they start asking you to cheat, they start asking you to compromise on your Christian morals, then you know. Not the Lord's will for me to do it here. You'll only really know the Lord's will for your life by reading that book and understanding what He wants you to do on a day-to-day basis. You master the basics, the harder stuff is easy. I know that sounds crazy, but it is. It is. All right, what we need you to do is we need you to go, and my pastor always used this illustration. He worked for a moving company. And they would supply the boxes. And they would bring in the boxes and they would sell brand new boxes at a price. And they would sell old boxes at a price. And the boss would look at the boxes when they were all broken down and come back. And if the box looked nice enough, he would sell the old boxes at the new box price. And hope that the person who's being moved doesn't pay close enough attention to what condition the box is. I mean, to me that sounds crazy. But all the same, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. Well, that's the will of the Lord in your life to sit there and at that moment say, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to do it. We master the small things. We'll spot the big things. Well, you can do that or you're fired. I'm not going to do it. Right? Now, I'm not saying you're going to sit there and be mean. But listen, this is where I stand. If I don't fit into your business model, I don't fit into your business model. That's it. And I've been there a few times, and I've said it nicely, and I've said it plainly, and most of the time I don't get fired. Why? Because they know they can't. They know they shouldn't. We stand on the principles God gave us. We stand on where we're supposed to stand. And I tell you what, when you're doing the will of the Lord, it is meat. It is exciting. Keep your eyes on Him. Do what you know you are supposed to. And when we're doing the things that we know we're supposed to, we ought to do it with a desire to please. You ever see kids do that? They'll be doing something, they'll turn around, they'll look at mom or dad. Just see that smile. What do you think? What do you think? You know, we did that. The boys finished up school today, and one of their last projects was a Father's Day card. Right? Because I guess I don't know how the timing goes. That was one of their last projects to do, and both of the boys gave me the card today. Because I guess today will be Father's Day. Fine. They hand it over. Now Caspian's like, he'll put it down and he'll go away. Xander, he'll bring it to you. He'll lay it right down in front of you and stare at you and wait for the assessment. What do you think? You know, we ought to have that same maturity, that same desire when it comes down to the Lord. I do. It is a sign of a carnal Christian to be concerned more, right? Or to not be concerned, right? If they value that, or if they put their benchmark at what other people will or will not accept, right? Well, so-and-so might not like it, but brother so-and-so does, and that's fine. The pastor might not like it, but I tell you what, I know two or three other people in the church that do it, so I guess that's okay. You set your sights too low. That's a mark of a carnal Christian that looks around to see who will let them get away with stuff. The answer is this: did I do this enough for the Lord? Did I do this enough for God? So at the end, if I present to Him, is He going to like it? Well, that's a lot of pressure to put on. Yeah. This is the Lord we're talking about. This is the Lord we're dealing with. There's an eternal value here, right? This isn't like messing up your coworker or your cousin's birthday. Got him the wrong color or something. This is the Heavenly Father. It's about how we're living our lives. I don't want to make Him glad with what I'm doing. To do the will. Now, the Lord says to finish the work. We don't finish the work. We're the reapers. Jesus Christ came to finish the work. But since this is a sermon preached to us and not Him, ours is just to do the work. To do the work. To give the gospel. And how about this one? To be a brother or sister in Christ. You ever stop to contemplate what that really means? Now you think about your siblings. Now some of us get along with our siblings, some of us don't. But for the sake of argument, let's paint them as a sibling that we like. Are you there for them? Do you care for them? I tell you what, growing up, my brother and I, we did not get along. But my brother had a tendency to get into fights. And I'll tell you what, if my little brother got into a fight, guess who else got into a fight? Why? Because that's my little brother. I'm not going to sit here, him all busted up and bloody, bring him home, right? What happened to your brother? Oh, he got beat up. What'd you do? I cheered him on. So you push the kid off of him. Now you guys knock it off. I'm going to get you go home. And you drag him on home. Right? We take care of each other. Right? As brothers and sisters in Christ, when one of us is down, we're all down. Now, I don't mean that we're all down and out, but you're hurting, I'm hurting. You have a need, I have a need. Right? And that's it. Not just because I'm the pastor, but that's our heart together. And I tell you what, home church has demonstrated that. We do demonstrate that. We need to maintain that. Now, that's just giving. That's doing stuff for each other. What about this love? What about actual bare bones love? Where I care for you and I think about you and I want what's best for you and I want to have a conversation with you and I want to check in with you how you're doing. You know, let's take some time to get to know each other. Take some time to really check in with each other. Because I've seen it. Us Baptists are really good at knowing people, sitting in the same building with people 3-4 times a week for decades. And we become strangers to each other. Why? Because the depth of our relationship is, hey, how are you? Good, good, good. Praying for you, praying for you. Pass the taters. All right, have a good day. That's it. That we would take the time to check in as people. Do the work, not just as an evangelist, but as a brother and sister in Christ. Don't just say, I'm praying for you. Grab a hold of them, pray with them right then and there. Send them a card. Show them you love them. Be there for them. There is a difference between salesman nice and actual love and compassion. Right? I used to work with this girl. I tell you what, she could outsell me in everything. You know why she did it? Because she was so fast with the compliments. I mean, I tell you what, honey could not touch her for the sweetness. Hi, how are you? I love your shoes. That is fantastic. Is that, where did you get your hair done? I love those nails. All right, well, let's take a look. Now, listen, this is just big enough for you. And I tell you what, you deserve something nice like this. And I tell you what, just stroke that ego the entire sales pitch. But I believe you me, she'd come back with the deal every time. Right? That salesman nice. Because believe me, if that person stepped out of line, she came back grousing about me. Dropped it like the mask it was. These people smell, right? Just dropped it. We can't be fake like that. If I'm actually praying for you, a love will develop. Remember, duty inspires love. Love inspires duty. They meet together. If I'm actually praying for you, and I'm dedicated to being the brother or sister in Christ for you that I'm supposed to be, that love is going to be there. That care, that compassion, it should be real, and it ought to be real. And by the way, it is part of what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm an introvert. All right, well, love people in a very introverted way. Right? I can't have everybody calling me. can't take everybody to lunch. Can't always be, it's fine. One word, two word, three word, don't matter. Just put the love into it. Put the love into it. And all this stuff, this work, this energy that we expel, it energizes us. I can't tell you a better time when you're on fire than when you're out there serving the Lord. I'll pass out those little door knockers. Some of you went with me last year, and by the way, we're going to start that up again here soon. Right? Some of them go out, pass those door knockers out. I get excited about that. I do. Well, how many people have we had come from the door knockers? I don't know, but I'm excited about that. When I stop and I have a good conversation about somebody, that pumps me up. We've had two young couples visit in the last few weeks. Right? I'm excited. Well, they're going to go home, so excited about that. That guy worked long and hard to try to find a church to go to, ended up at ours twice. Amen. That pumps me up. Finally, we got one I didn't scare away by Sunday school. That excites me. It ought to. Well, it's not really a big deal. It's the world to me. We got to give the gospel. We got to be a part. We got to show some love. We got to meet somebody new. Right? We ought to be excited about it. Yeah. Some of us, we get excited about weird things. We do. We'd have people, they'd come into my office all the time. And I'll tell you this, if you brought your dog with you, the chances of me remembering your name are zero. There are some people that were at my community for years. And I knew the name of their dog, but I had no idea who they were, and they paid me the rent. We get excited about dumb stuff. We ought to be excited about the real stuff, about the exciting stuff. A soul being saved, the anniversary of a baptism, the excitement that comes from seeing people serve the Lord. We ought to have a drive for that. I tell you what, even to see these kids out here playing games in this field, or last week it was the parking lot. We're going to move over to the grass tomorrow if the weather helps us out. But I tell you what, that brings me joy. Brings me excitement. The work of the Lord energizes us. And I tell you what, it encourages us too. It encourages us. Because you'll be sitting there going, well, maybe the Lord stopped working. Well, maybe things aren't going. All of a sudden, somebody will come forward and say, hey, listen, this is a decision I made for the Lord. And this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, you're on fire. A little bit of fire, man, will ignite all of us, because that's how the service of the Lord works. Right? You'd have to sit there and work for years to get a promotion, just to get a little thrill. Lord just doles those thrills out all over the place in his church. He does. Here's some encouragement here. Here's this person doing this over there. Hey, did you see we've been praying for this for so long, and this finally happened? Hey, you know, not to pick on Brother Tim, but see Brother Tim in the church today? That's it. Right. Hey, did you see the Golden Globes were on last night? Boop, nothing. Excites me. It's good. It's good to see that. It encourages us. And I tell you what, the whole thing gives us purpose. The whole thing gives us purpose. Right? Of all the things that people try to attach to themselves to give them a sense of purpose, there's nothing that quite does the job like serving the Lord. Nothing. Right? You've got people out there, they'll slap the word doctor on their name, force everybody to use the word doctor. I'm doctor. Doctor so-and-so, how are you? Good, good. What kind of doctor are you? Art history. Fantastic, doctor. Thank you for coming today. Sure, it's my work. I'm not paying. If it's there for the same purpose, what's it doing? There for the same purpose, well, then, now do you feel very purposeful? No, I still feel empty inside. Huh. Well, maybe you should go get two or three more of them little doctorates. See how that feels. Now, again, for those of you young people here, you're going to go get a doctorate, you go get that doctorate. I'll be proud of you. It's not the point. The point is that when you try to do things to make yourself feel purposeful, it won't work. It'll just have a really nice thing. Really nice thing. What's the real purpose? The real purpose is serving the Lord. And by the way, you can do that with a doctorate. You can do that with a boat. You can do that with 1,000 friends. You can do that with all the things that the world tries to say that will give you a purpose. You can do that with a ton of money too, I assume. I've never tried it. But you can. But those things don't give purpose. Serving the Lord gives purpose. And have those things, but they won't give you a purpose. What we need is purpose. I've had people do this all. Well, what do you do for a living? 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 Right? As though something that I'm supposed to be doing for a living marks who I am. Marks who I am. I've never met a child of God that I've ever sat there. And, you know, I've got some friends, right? Contractors. When I look at them, I don't see a contractor. You know what I look at? I see them as a child of God who happens to be a really good contractor, right? Well, but this person over here, I can't remember what they all were, but some of them were hygienists. Some of them grew up to be all sorts of different things. I didn't see them as the title of their role. I remember the day they were saved. I remember the day they joined the church. They are a child of God. That is their purpose. Because guess what? If ever the teachers hate being teachers and they want to switch jobs, does that mean they've lost their purpose? No. Their purpose is still being a child of God. Their purpose is still His service. They just clock in somewhere different now. Right? I don't think I've got any friends that made a lot of money, but if I've got a friend that went from poor to billionaire, their purpose has not changed. They haven't gained a purpose. They always had it. It never changed. And just like I've never had a friend become a billionaire, I've never had a friend lose $1 billion. But even so, their value stays with them as a child of God. Now, what is my value as a child of God? My service to Him, my devotion, of course, the salvation that He gave to me when I was saved. So, again, it can't be taken from me. I can't lose it. I have purpose already. And ultimately, what we have to see, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him. For the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I did. Now, there's a few things we got to look at in this next couple verses here, right? First off, they believed at that. He knows everything you did. I mean, remember the life of this woman. He knows everything you did. All right, well, we'll believe it based off of that. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. What do we see here in the relationship? People will believe in Christ based off of your testimony. It better be a good testimony, by the way. They'll believe in Christ based off your testimony, because you know what? Some folks get real low too. Some folks find themselves doing the things that you used to do, and they find no pleasure in it, they find no purpose in it, they find no desire for it, and all they realize is what they're doing is they're just kind of pushing a button to release a little bit of joy for a second with whatever sin they're doing, and they're sick of it. And all of a sudden, there you are. I used to live that way. I used to live in fear. I used to live with all this stuff going on. But you know what? Lord, save my soul. I need none of it. I've got eternity waiting for me. I tell you, people need that. And not just that, but when they finally go to the Lord, they read in the Word, they'll believe Him based off of what He has to say. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Because there comes a point when our salvation, we stop thinking about our salvation from the aspect somebody gave me the gospel, which is why, again, a lot of these Arminian types get it wrong. I saved 9 people in this neighborhood. You either gave them the gospel and the Lord caused them to believe, or get you didn't bring a single person here. There comes a point where, hey, listen, I heard you and I believed, but now that I'm saved, now that I know what He has to say, now that I'm in the Word, my belief is not just because of what He did to you. My belief is based on Him because of what He did to me. Now I fully believe. Now I understand. Right? There's that little funny thing that happens when you grow up and people tell you stuff, right? Oh, I'm going to go get my driver's license. Well, driving's hard. No, it's not. You get out there and you realize, oh, it's not the driving that's hard. It's the people that, I got you. Driving can be hard. You wrap your car around a tree because it's icy and snowy. Oh, yeah, it's hard. All right, we're going to go get married. Well, being married is hard. Well, that's kind of a mean thing to say. That's not very nice. Well, just you know, marriage is hard. Make sure you're ready. Well, that's fine. And they get married. It's what? It's hard. Because I'm a sinner and they're a sinner. And we keep sinning against each other. And getting irritated with our little sins. It's hard. Yes, I understand now. It's hard. My other favorite one, having kids is hard. Okay. Having kids is hard. I get it by now, the driving, the marriage, it'll be hard. And then you get into it, this hard. I get it now. When all of a sudden, it's not just what you were told, but it's by experience, man, that sinks it in deep, don't it? Now I get it. You weren't just being a Scrooge about this. You're warning me. You're telling me to prepare, get stuff ready, get things going. Right? I get it. When we stop when we move from that transition point, from hearing the Word and believing the Word because we heard it and believing it because we've read it and living it and experiencing the Lord the way that we do when we're saved, it sinks in deep. It sinks in deep. Right? Why? Because I was forgiven. Because I get the blessings. Because the Lord is there for me. And whether I'm hurting or whether other people are hurting, I can go to Him on a dime and talk to Him. I have that ability. Why? Because God loves me. And you know what? It all works. That's the beautiful thing. It all works. Not because of my testimony, not because of your testimony, nor either one of our abilities. It works because of the God who works it. Which means if I fail, that doesn't create an excuse. If you fail, it doesn't create an excuse. Because we failed God. God did not fail us. Because He doesn't fail us. Why is it that the woman at the well, despite the racial difference, despite the sin in her life, why could the Lord do it? Because it was the Lord doing it. Why was it that the rest of these people were able to be saved, though they too were not of the Jews? Because it was the Lord that did it. Why you? Why me? Why the people down the street? Why the people far down in the next city? Why does the Lord save them? How can the Lord save them? Because it's Him doing it. It's Him doing it. His Word does not come back to Him void. It works because it's God who's working it. Oh, there's power in prayer. I believe there's power in the God I'm talking to. But if you think for a second me getting down on my knees, rubbing my hands together is the cause of my help, you're wrong. It's the God I'm talking to. I used to have a boss who didn't like answers, so she'd ask me to call somebody. Right? Well, what did they say? They said, no, well, call so-and-so over at this other place and see what they think. You'd be a prospector, somebody come in. I said, well, rent? No. All right, well, call that other leasing agent, see what they think. Call them, ask them what? I got a guy who just came over here, didn't want to rent the apartment. What do you think? Well, I think you're a weak salesman. You should probably quit. Thanks, bud. Ask him what? Do you think the phone call is going to bring someone back? Do you think me getting down on my knees is going to fix things? No, it's the God I'm praying to. It's not meditation. It's not me thinking the words out loud. It's not this weird spiritual, if I could just manifest it by my thoughts. What are you, a genie? You can't do that. It's God. And that's who I put my trust in. And I tell you what, we ought to take joy in that. We ought to get strength out of that. And we need to realize in everything we do, the need around us is real. The need around us is real. Right? There are people out there right now, they're looking at a political scape that's scary. They're going to the gas stations, they're going to the grocery stores, and they are struggling. Right? There are people out there that, for whatever reason, can't put down the bottle. There are people out there that, for whatever reason, can't stop popping the pills. The need around us is real. There are children of God backsliding and leaving churches left, right, and center. Why? Because the need is real. And what are we doing? Are we doing the will and the work? Because doing the will and the work in God's way and in His strength will feed us, will make us stronger. And we'll be able to be there for the people who are struggling around us. And folks, that's what we're for. That's what we're for. After everything that God has given us, after everything that God has done, we need to be able to say what Jesus said, and that is, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. We can't finish it. We're out there doing what? We're reaping. We're reaping. And I'd pray this, that we take the opportunity to serve Him, that we dig into it, that we serve Him out of both love and duty. And in everything out of gratitude, that we would have gratitude. Right? I'm going to do this for all the things You've done for me. I'm going to take care of You for all the ways You've taken care of me. Right? It's my duty, it's my love, it's my response. Because that's what the Lord deserves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, the blessings